It's a cold winter night here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage on WMFO in Medford. And we're playing you music all about the cold and winter and snow and ice and what happens in winter. Johnny Winter performed the first song in that set. That was Johnny Guitar from his album Hey, Where's Your Brother? And then Simon and Garfunkel gave us A Hazy Shade of Winter. We then heard a deep cut from Queen's 1974 album Sheer Heart Attack. That was Stone Cold Crazy. Next up was the Steve Miller Band with Wintertime. And then we heard the Japanese band Denki Groove, an instrumental piece called Snow and Dove that I overlaid real-life audio clips from NASA 1986, the launch and subsequent explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger. The weather was too cold that day, but more importantly, the NASA executive decision-making process was horribly broken. Then we heard a song called Ice Age from Pete Yorn. And we finished things up with Apollo 440 and Cold Rock the Mic. Our ambiance right now is being provided by Wall Matthews. This is a piece called Ryoanji in Winter from their Zen Gardens album. Ryoanji is a Zen Buddhist temple complex in Kyoto, Japan, with a very famous rock garden. Coming up next is an experimental sound collage remix I made for you. It contains three compositions from Wendy Carlos: Winter from Sonic Seasonings, Rhea from Digital Moonscapes, and A Woman's Song from her Beauty and the Beast album. It also includes some audio clips recorded by Chuck Yu at the January 2019 Boston Women's Rally, including Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, plus Professor Joanne Meyerowitz talking about Christine Jorgensen, the pioneering 20th century American transgender activist. And then also Wendy Carlos talking about one of her initial well-tempered experiments, which was a bonus track from her Switched On Box CD. Yes, there's all that and more in the sound collage mix here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Non-Commercial Community Radio.
So the message I've come to deliver today is a message of optimism. It's a message of hope and aspiration for who and what we will continue to accomplish together. Sisters, this is a pivotal moment in our history, and I'm here to ask you to go deeper. Sisters, I'm going to ask you to continue to fight for gender rights and other issues that matter to women in our families, but that you not forget, that you not forget the intersection and the weight of this country's most constant and persistent foe, our deepest stain, racism. I am here today on behalf of my sisters of color with a message for our white sisters. We need you to show up for us. We need you to be deliberate and intentional in your advocacy. I am so inspired by our movement, by what we've accomplished in just the past 2 years, the odds we have overcome, the hope we have realized from Beacon Hill to Capitol Hill. But we've got more work to do. We can deliver more and we can be better. We need you to recommit to be stronger, bolder, ever more vigilant, because the reality is, my sisters, you're likely to see equality before we do. And though justice is slow for all of us, justice has always been more inclined to the voices of our white sisters than it has been to our sisters of color. So we need you to state unequivocally that equality and justice for women of color is a non-negotiable.
The first time I realised I was trans, I was about 19.
It was actually whilst I was watching BBC's Doctors.
Since I was like two.
And it was actually cisgender people that were saying to me, "Connie, I think you're trans." And I was like, no. It's not that. I'm too masculine, I'm too tall, you know, I'm too old.
Yeah, I always knew, but I guess having a label that kind of matches how I feel.
Yeah.
Maybe mid-teens.
Yeah.
Is that one of those moments in the cartoon where like the light bulb literally turns on?
Yeah, it goes off.
And I'm just like, that's me.
We didn't have the promotion or the awareness around trans. So, I mean, from the age of 7, I knew I was different. But it probably took me until I was in my 30s to actually put a label to it.
Mm. I'm pan as well as trans. And that one, I think I realised a lot sooner.
I always felt how I felt,
yeah,
but there's
exactly.
No, yeah.
You always know,
yeah.
Deep down.
Yeah.
I was 41, so 2014, I decided to embrace it. And here we are.
The first time I came out,
I used a Tumblr post.
I went out with a gay friend one night in London to a gay club. I went dressed as a female, and I think it was a couple of weeks after that I then put it out to the masses.
It was Tumblr in 2012. I didn't have any followers, so no one really read it. And then I just kind of gradually shared that about with friends who I was really close with.
How many times?
Yeah.
It's been
more
it came
than
out
one.
Twice.
Yeah.
For me, it was a drunken mistake. I had a Christmas party at work as Michelle, and posted some pictures, Michelle's first Christmas, and didn't realise nobody knew, apart from the people I was out to socially. And I remember waking up the next morning thinking, oh my God, I've done something awful.
I came out to my online friends before I came out to anyone, you know, in real life, so to speak.
Probably 14. Gay. 17, trans.
Yeah. Oh, so it's quite young for you.
Yeah.
Jorgensen was a male-to-female transsexual. She was born in the Bronx in 1926 as George Jorgensen Jr. She went to Denmark in 1950 in search of sex change surgery. She had had since childhood this long-standing, irrepressible desire to live her life as a woman. And in Denmark, she found some doctors who were willing to experiment on her, and she came back to the United States in 1953. But before that, in December of 1952, her story made the news while she was recovering in a hospital bed in Copenhagen. And the New York Daily News had this front page banner headline reading, XGI becomes blonde beauty. And after that, she became a media celebrity.
There were positive responses, there was quite a few negative ones as well, and it wasn't fun.
My dad at first, he was like, well, you know, first gay and now trans, what else? You know, and their mind goes 10 to a dozen and they start thinking the worst, you know, because they don't have anything to go off of what a trans person is.
20 gay.
Oh, good. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. But that was just, I remember driving in the car and my dad says to me, you do know me, know that's your boyfriend, it's not your friend. And then and I was like, oh, okay then. And then trans, probably like a few months later.
And I picked the phone up and said, oh my God, what if there are no comments? It's going to be even worse. And I had 70 positive remarks and the phone didn't stop ringing all day. And people were just so supportive. Family, not so supportive.
I actually think it was worse for my sister.
Really?
Because I was in sixth form and she was in the first year of high school, so
right.
Year 9.
Yeah.
Because it's weird up north. And basically her peers, obviously nowhere near as mature as like the people in my year.
Yeah.
And they just bullied her constantly for my existence in the school.
The well-tempered synthesizer required many of the same experimental tests as it took to assemble its better-known predecessor. By now, our experience showed, and the tests were much more polished and focused than some of the earliest trials for Switched on Bach. With our prior experience, it wasn't difficult to choose effective Bach pieces. not so easy to tackle were the keyboard sonatas by Domenico Scarlatti or the orchestral water music by Handel. Here is an early attempt to perform our second Scarlatti sonata, which is in D minor, K96. This reasonably well-polished version has registrational problems, and its tempo shifts are somewhat clumsy. This final version we did next.
Because I was always very feminine, so I think people had some inclination that that would be a possibility.
Oh yeah, no, I did very much the masculine overcompensation, like caveman, man type. So yeah, when people found out, it was a shock for some people, like, so that was an act before. I think it's very common with trans people, like trans women, to over-masculinize.
My twin sister ended up, you know, getting bullied via association, so I can see where you're coming from, and I'm really kind of sorry to hear that, you know, you went through that, but I'm also kind of happy that I'm not alone, if you know what I mean, that other people went through the same thing.
Century on, sex was pretty much everywhere in American society, and sex had a lot of different meanings. From the early women's movement in the early 20th century on, there was all sorts of discussion of sex differences, the differences between men and women. From the early sex researchers, sexologists such as Freud, there was all sorts of talk about sexuality and its meanings in American life. In advertising, in the movies, there was clearly the notion that sex sold, and sexuality was used as a way to attract readers and buyers and audiences. And so sex was pretty much everywhere in American culture by the time Jorgensen arrived on the scene, and yet she crystallized some questions for people. She was able to raise some issues. She was able to bring into the public culture some questions of sex and gender and sexuality in ways that they hadn't been there before.
exist. And we rise. I know it is cold out here. But the pursuit of justice is uncomfortable and inconvenient. So buckle up. You are a glorious sight to behold. I want to thank you all for being here today, not only in the beloved community on MLK Day, but in collective resistance. 2 years ago, we were gathered here on the Boston Common, people from all walks of life, committed to a more kind and a more just world. On a bitter, cold January day, we raised signs that said, today we march, tomorrow we run. But I think they thought we were just being poetic. But today we stand here actualizing that poetry in motion, and I have the honor of being your congresswoman for the Massachusetts 7th Congressional District. And your sister in solidarity, shoulder to shoulder with all of you here today and those that were here 2 years ago, women who answered the call to run, to serve, who didn't ask permission to leave, who didn't wait their turn. These women are not a monolith. There is no single story to define us, no matter how hard the press and the pundits may try. You can talk about waves and you can talk about magic all you want, but what we put in and what we saw play out in 2018 was work. And we are still putting in that work. This is not work that we do alone. While our names might appear on the ballot, behind those names are whole tribes, communities, villages, coalitions, movements of women and allies who embody, who actualize a bold mandate for change. And we are just getting started. Each of you, in the face of the injustices, of the indignities, of the adversities, you have remained steady, met with claims that you are too queer, that you are too black, that you are too young, that you are too visionary, that you are too aspirational, that you are too loud, that you are too hopeful. That you are too angry. What is wrong with righteous indignation and anger and rage in the face of injustice? Nothing.
My best friend, and we bought like this like two-piece matching outfit, and then I went to the family dinner dressed like that, and having my family like say I looked nice, it was really like a family.
It was always funny explaining to people, they were like, are you going to be like David Williams' character? Like, oh, the lady. I'm like, no, I'm just going to be happier with a much better wardrobe.
Yeah, just be yourself, isn't it, really? The thing is that I think people think that, you know, when people are very masculine and it is such a shock because of the big change, that people see it as being selfish, but I think really they've just been trying to make other people happy by masking it with this masculinity, when really it's just that's who they really are underneath.
I believe I touched the box.
Thank you. ain't got no money.
You know, this is illegal.
I only use it for medicinal purposes.
You like snakes, lady? Mm-hmm. Forget the jungle. I got two right here.
You do?
I do.
Sampo! So welcome to the killing field, since I really want to know how killing feel. Sampo! Proud of you, yes.
Mm, I like that one better. Mm, what a beautiful snake you have.
Every day get worse and worse. Every day get worse and worse and worse and worse.
I have only 5 words for you.
From my cold, dead hands.
You're out of your mind. What's your point?
Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
Easier way for me to get my wings.
It's not like your breasts aren't dangerous enough.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Well, my world used to be sunny, and jokes used to be funny, but now you're gone. and everything's turned all around. Well, my world used to be warm, and then there was a storm. But now you're gone, and everything's turned upside down. And now it's cold outside, and the rain is pouring down, and the leaves are turning brown. Can you see?
Catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's been a cold winter night here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage, only on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Non-Commercial Community Radio. We started off that long last set with a very experimental remix of three Wendy Carlos songs. Winter from Sonic Seasonings, Rhea from Digital Moonscapes, and a woman's song from Beauty and the Beast. And then we mixed in some audio clips recorded by Chuck Yu at the January 2019 Boston Women's Rally, particularly Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. We also heard from a number of transgender women sharing their stories about coming out, which I found at the UK Pink News website. Plus, we heard Professor Joanne Meyerowitz talking about Christine Jorgensen. And then Wendy Carlos talking about some of her initial well-tempered experiments. That was a bonus track from the Switched On box CD. Then Pat Benatar with Fire and Ice. Eddie Raspberry with Cold, Cold Winter Night. A genre jump over to some Bhangra from Kushaora. That was Cold World from their Bhang Ranga Dancehall Bhangra in a Future Dimension album. Also Devo in there with Cold War, Paul Winter with Kursky Funk, excerpts of Rhonda Lorenz's Winter Moon, and then we closed out the set with the choir and It's Cold Outside, plus a public service message from fightglobalwarming.com. My closing ambiance here is a song by Medeski, Martin, and Wood called Ice. Thanks so much for listening to the Sound Collage. And stay tuned for Savoir Faire and songs from the Squid Pod with some of the best music from the 1980s. Only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts, freeform, non-commercial, community radio.
COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.